When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, before we get started, I want to tell you about Dodge. This spring, the Brotherhood of Muscle is looking for new members, and the only way to join is to get behind the wheel of Dodge's only family of all-wheel drive muscle cars. The Dodge Charger, the only muscle car in its class to throw you back in your seat with 300 horsepower and still get 30 miles per gallon. You know, the Dodge Challenger, the Groundhog didn't see its shadow. It heard the rev of the most affordable V8 in its class. And the Dodge Journey, maximize your adventure with the most powerful third row all-wheel drive vehicle in its class. And certainly the Dodge Durango, tear through April showers with the most powerful SUV with all-wheel drive availability in its class. Hurry into your Dodge dealership and start your introduction to the Brotherhood of Muscle. Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and here again with us, Bill Goldberg. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm always doing good, man, and it's always just a pleasure to see you and talk wonderful automobiles.
I am eternally grateful that you make the trip up here again to be in our studio, and I know we're going to come down and we're going to do this at some point from your location. We owe you that one.
It's all good, man. I gotta when I come in after that hour and a half or sometime 4.5 hour drive, I have to vent, and I calm down, and hey, it is what it is.
It's here's the thing is we want to do these shows, we want to get you these shows for free every week, and oftentimes you think it's pretty easy, it takes about 45 minutes an hour to do a show, but believe it or not, it takes a lot longer than that. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Chris is producing shows and getting them built and packaging up there and photos and travel and all
that
stuff.
Thank God for Chris.
And with your schedule, which we're going to get in today, we've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. You got so much going on. You're kind of all over the place, so I appreciate you making the drive up here as well. And I'm just going to throw this out there. So your brother, you have two brothers.
Yes, sir.
One of your brothers lives down in the San Diego area, right? And he's got a couple of restaurants. And maybe I'm speaking out of term here. I'm just going to throw this out. But I think we should do a live CarCast episode from one of his restaurants down there. I don't know how to set that up or whatever. Sounds like you know somebody.
Well, it's quite easy because I know the guy's phone number. He happens to be my brother, and he owes me a favor or two. And at the end of the day, why wouldn't you come down south a couple hours and sit on the beach and do a car cast from that wonderful
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm sure he's got an amazing venue down there. I don't get down there much, but I'd love to check it out. So I'm thinking maybe we do some sort of live car cast episode. I don't know how that works. Maybe we got to charge like a couple of bucks at the door or something.
We'll do a live car cast episode, and we'll tell everybody where and when we're doing it, and people can show up with their cool cars.
And one of the things I really enjoy doing, although we come into the studio, but to be able to do this with you guys in front of an audience is always my favorite to do. So I'm down for that. If you're down with that, I think it's going to just be a matter of scheduling because everybody's kind of busy and traveling around. And when you're not here, you're on a plane.
I am more than down with that, dude.
But I think it would be fun. I think you're down with it because it's probably 10 minutes from your house.
Well, it's more like 40 minutes from my house.
Okay, that's still better.
The traffic's a little easier down in Diego.
Yeah. Also, I don't mind doing this show with a beer in my hand.
Well, I can guarantee you that I can make that happen.
All right. So we've got some cool things going on. We've got some car talk. We've got some car updates. But I see on my notes here, we touched on it a couple of weeks ago. You're doing a TV show for History Channel.
Forged in Fire, Knife or Death. Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
It sounds like fun. So this is coming out April 17th on the History Channel. What can you tell us about the show?
Well, it's a cross between Forged in Fire, their original show, where bladesmiths come in and make their own blades and are judged accordingly. And it's a cross between that and, let's say, Ninja Warriors. So just imagine a group of competitors with extremely sharp knives going through an obstacle course, a timed obstacle course, no less. Nobody's limbs were severed during the filming of the first six episodes, but that was only the first. So,
okay, so somebody comes in and makes the knife.
Well, they don't necessarily have to make the knife here, but
I was going to ask, is it the same person who does the obstacle course, or is there?
Well, I'd say 50% of the competitors have forged their own knives.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not a prerequisite for being a competitor, but it helps.
Okay, because they seem like two different people to me.
No question.
I'm the guy who makes it, and then there's the guy who, you know.
But there are a lot of people who forge their own knives. You know, it's a at one with your blade kind of thing. And
so they go through this obstacle course, and then obviously the knife is being used on the obstacle course.
To
so like,
sever, to chop, to dismember, to all of the above.
But they don't have to
go against each other. No,
no, and they don't have to like run to.
No, but running is against the rules. You never run with a knife in your.
That's what I'm saying. Because again, like I'm like
no.
Could you
once
imagine?
You cross the finish line, once you cross the finish line at each given obstacle, you walk to the other. It's okay. The timer stops.
Okay, good. Because I had this picture in my head of like American Ninja Warriors with a guy with like a knife in his mouth with an eye patch on, like a pirate, and he's
but
swinging
see, that's,
from
that's
a rope.
That's my job. That's my job to paint an unbelievably vivid picture for the audience so that they'll tune in.
Yeah. All right. So these guys compete, and then I guess the knife, there's some formality to it. The knife gets holstered, and then you move to the next thing, and then because there's a level of safety that has to be built into this.
No question. First and foremost, there's a place called the cut, which is where each competitor prior to them competing in the game, their blade has to pass, you know, judgment by our resident expert, Travis Wirtz.
Oh, and
or they can't compete in the competition.
And he's your counterpart on the show.
He's one of them. I have two counterparts. Got him two Lamb Special Forces Green Beret is the knife expert. And then he and I are co-hosting the show. And then our resident knife expert, the guy who has to critique the knives and say pass or fail so that they can compete in the competition, that's another person, Travis Wirtz.
This whole thing sounds insane to me.
It
sounds fantastic. It sounds insane.
Okay, you remember Bull Run. Let's bring some automotive into it.
Bull Run was fantastic.
Remember how Bull Run, one of the things that worked with Bull Run was it was in a time of, you know, when political correctness wasn't such that it is right now. But each demographic was represented. Look at old stereotypes. You got your Mexican guys and your 57 Chevy. You got your hot blonde, you know, with their girlfriend in the BMW. You got your redneck boys from Alabama in your truck. You know, everyone was represented. So the viewer had someone to cheer for innately every single time they tune in. They didn't have to know anything about them. They just could identify with them. It's kind of the same thing with this because you get people from all walks of life, whether it's a 52-year-old fifth-degree black belt in Aikido or something like that, and has knife skills and brings his, you know, 35-inch samurai sword, or it's, you know, some, what else? We had a professional chopper. It was from Texas that comes with the big cowboy hat and the cowboy boots, and, you know, this guy's ready to rock. So, I mean, it was a lot of different demographics represented, you know, men, women, whether it was a Bowie knife or a katana or a samurai sword or whatever it may be, it was cool because everyone had someone to cheer for.
Right. So it sounds like it's a great mix of people and the various different types, like two people go through the obstacle course and one can have a sword, one can have a knife of sorts.
Bingo.
Right? So it could.
We had a guy from Valley Center, a butcher, show up with a little knife that's not much bigger than the one I cut steaks with every night.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing because everybody has an opinion, right? Oh, well, a guy with a big blade and a samurai guy could do better. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
You don't know until you see, right?
No, now I'm just curious. Like, curiosity has definitely got me in on this. So, is this like, who approached you with this? Did you guys come up with this? Or is it somebody said, hey, I've got an idea for a knife show. And you
there
said,
was,
hey, we can do a few things to modify it and let's make it.
There was a producer, a writer-producer that approached me years ago with a project called the Taxi Cab 500. Okay, we're bringing cars into it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
End of the day, you have, you know, 10 different taxi drivers from New York, and they compete for a $250,000 badge that you have to have each year as a cab driver. Well, that never took off, and, you know, 10 years passed, and I get a phone call from Vincent, and it's about this show. And so here we are.
Yeah. Look, I can go ahead and probably say you haven't seen anything like this on TV before because the whole thing sounds pretty crazy. And I'm definitely going to be watching it. It sounds pretty crazy. You guys are doing 6 episodes. You've done 6 episodes already?
Did 6 episodes already, filmed in Atlanta. And, you know, we're probably looking at May right now to film a couple more. And, you know, hopefully everybody tunes in and is excited about it as I am. And, means that, you know, we got to go shoot more episodes for the people.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get a few more details on it, and definitely follow all of our social media, and we'll make sure you know exactly what times, what dates this is going to happen. But keep an eye out on history. April 17th, it's going to happen. It sounds fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see the finished product. You know, at the end of the day, when you go out and film 6 episodes in 10 days, it's kind of a shotgun deal.
Yeah.
And you really don't know what the finished product's going to look like. But I have the utmost confidence in the ITV production crew. And,
I think you and I were like texting a little bit, like when you're doing the show and you're like, this whole thing is epic. Like the size of the production, everything that's going on.
It was
epic.
It was
like,
the largest television production I've ever been on, except for The Apprentice, which had like 1,500 people behind the scenes. But yeah, I was very excited. You know, when you show up on a project like this, there are a lot of variables, and this couldn't have been written any better by Spielberg. I mean, it turned out to be a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it sounds amazing to me because of the scope of it and the size of it. You know, unless you're, you know, a Mark Burnett show on ABC or NBC or something like that, like you don't normally get that on these types of networks.
It was huge.
But that's the kind of stuff that you and I love. Like we kind of love doing like a Velocity thing or Discovery or a History or a DIY or something like that, because you can have a little more fun, a little more freedom on those kinds of shows. But
you have a lot. And at the end of the day, you know, when you can do what you enjoy for a living, I mean, it makes it, you know, you're one of the luckiest people in the world. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's how I look at what we do every day, every week.
Are you an aspiring knife expert?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, hey, man, I'm not an expert at anything, but I'd like to think that I have a pretty eclectic skill set, you know. So they approach me about this, and I say, hey, man, I'd love to learn about knives. And so it's just, again, you know, I'm a kid in a candy store learning something new.
But you're already walking in with some level of knowledge just based on just your love of MMA. You own a
Muay
Thai gym.
The martial arts aspect.
There's a combat aspect, arts aspect. You know, there's something there. So obviously you're a great fit for this. Mm-hmm. And it also is kind of entertaining to be like, oh, I don't know enough about knife fighting, but that's what's great, because now you get to ask and sort of as the
I'm
host,
learning as the viewer,
you know, to
learns,
bring it along,
you know,
kind of
and at the end of the day, if you can humanize yourself in a production, it means more people are going to relate to you and more people are going to watch.
All right, so we've got that going on. That sounds fantastic. And also, we've got WWE. That's coming up pretty quickly now. And actually, as you're listening to this, we're probably a day or two away. WWE Hall of Fame induction, is it a show? It's a ceremony. It's on their network, or is it a pay per view thing?
It's on their network, and I guess I better start working on my speech.
You got to figure this out.
I got to figure it out. Yeah. I'm headlining the damn thing, but
that's right.
Hey, it's an honor and a privilege to be
April 6th.
Yeah, to be recognized for anything, man. So it's going to be a cool night.
You know, those events are fantastic, and you're right. Like, when they started doing – I don't know how long they've been doing Hall of Fame thing now, but when they started doing Hall of Fame stuff, and it was so great to give some recognition, especially to some of the very early – professionals and you know, the early wrestlers.
Well, they paved the way for guys like me.
And believe me, there's a lot of guys that had a huge impact as us growing up, you know, as a fan and as somebody who actually does it, that, you know, are just hurt, and like they never really even made any money with it. It was a really tough thing to do, and it was just like it was a really underground thing. Now the company has grown, and it's worth billions of dollars, mm-hmm. and congratulations to all the success for everybody
in
the industry.
But there are a large number of those men and women who paved the way for guys like me and never really got compensated as such. But you know,
and so it's nice to show a little bit of recognition and also introduce. Pay homage, you know, to them by showing the young audience of WWE and go, by the way, it's like, yes, we know Goldberg. We love Goldberg. He's done so much for the sport. You're just an icon in it.
But if it wasn't for the people who came before me, then there would be no Goldberg.
Right. You also need a Sergeant Slaughter and an Iron Sheik and an Ultimate
Bruiser
Warrior
Brody.
And a Bruiser. Yeah, you need those guys as well that have done a lot. And it's nice to get kind of everybody together, a few of these guys together and gals in one event like this. So, who else is? Do you know the other inductees this year? Or
the Bully Ray and the D-Von and
D-Von.
Let's see.
I love his glasses.
Yeah, Ivory. Let's see here. Hillbilly Jim.
Oh,
and Kid Rock's going in.
Kid Rock is going in.
Man, the celebrity wing.
Yeah, he did a couple theme songs from one big. Entry song, right?
I think he did. I wasn't there at the time, so as far as his association with the WWE, I really don't know it that much. But
I know
the celebrity wing thing is a different
deal. Yeah, that's a different thing. But I get it. You know, like I get that part of it. I want to say
Jeff Jarrett's going in this year also.
He did. Some American something or other was the song, Kid Rock song, and somebody used it for a while or a year or two or whatever, you know. But it sounds fantastic, but that's also WrestleMania weekend. It's in New Orleans.
Yes, sir. WrestleMania it's the Friday night prior to WrestleMania.
WrestleMania is the 8th, I think, Sunday?
I think it's Sunday, and then Friday is when I do the intro.
And you stick around, you're going to watch the event, or you got to come home, you got to go to work?
Yeah, it's the only reason why I accepted the induction, so my kid can go to another WrestleMania.
Go to WrestleMania again.
That's the caveat.
Yeah. American Badass for The Undertaker. That was the Kid Rock song, American Badass, and it was an entry song for The Undertaker.
There you have it.
There you go. Thank you, Chris.
Chris, you're the best. God, what would we do with that? What would I do with that?
Well, it sounds good. WrestleMania is going to be awesome. It's too bad it's in New Orleans. It's too far for me to swing down there and go. But I went a few years ago when it was at Levi Stadium. What's the one in like San Jose?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was a few years ago. I went to that.
That's where the Niners play, I think, right?
Yeah. I don't know much about football. Nope. So, our friend Maria Menounos was involved at the time. Mm-hmm. I think she's hosted the event several times, and then she had some passes or tickets for a group of her AfterBuzz TV group. They have mm-hmm. a great sort of post-show podcast and video network, and I went with them, and it was one of these things where like my buddy Phil, who kind of runs things over there, I think he called me like Wednesday night, and he's like, we're going to WrestleMania. I'm like, oh, that sounds fantastic. When are we going? He's like, I'm
tomorrow.
Coming over. Yeah. And I was like, I can't actually go this quick. So I flew up, and then we drove back.
You flew up or threw up?
I flew. Okay. I grabbed the Southwest flight. I went that day. Like, we landed in San Jose. We met up at a restaurant. And I just said, let's just do it. We went there. We had a great time. And then we Airbnb'd it that night at a place there and then drove home. As we're leaving WrestleMania, and Chris knows Phil as well. As we're leaving WrestleMania, I'm driving the car. Car's loaded up with people. Tons of traffic. Some girl behind us is texting, smashes into the back of Phil's Prius.
Right. Well, that's what he deserves it for having
for his Prius, which he made me drive. And then we stayed at this Airbnb, and we're like, I don't know what to do. And plus, I think the car is like, I don't know, on like Maria's insurance company car, that kind of thing. And we're like, just take the Prius. He's driving the Prius because it's a road trip. And that stupid trunk wouldn't close.
Oh, jeez.
Right? So we've got it tied down, but for the next, I don't know, 5 hours, you hear beep, beep.
Oh, God.
beep, because the trunk is open. Mm-hmm. And like no amount of radio or anything, because most of everybody's like a little.
And it's not such that you could reach underneath the dash and pull a certain wire out. It's not one of those cars anymore.
We even checked for like a fuse or something. We couldn't find. I don't know. Maybe we just were too hungover or something, but we just drove home with that stupid beep going on for 5 hours. We couldn't get home fast enough. And then when we got there, it was like, it's like no one was trying to be rude, but it was like we got to LA and we're like, all right, we'll see you later. Bye. Boom, gun, just gone.
Nice.
Right? You're just out of there. Like, I was just like, do you
need
to ride home?
Sounds like a normal WrestleMania trip.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do you need to ride home? No, not in your car. I'll just Uber it. Like, as soon as I'm close.
Just drop me.
If I'm within a $90 Uber ride, I'll just Uber the rest.
It's on me.
And you go. But it's a fun event to go to. So watch the event. The Hall of Fame is going to be fantastic. If you guys got tickets to WrestleMania, I'm sure it's got to be sold out or something by now, because these things usually go pretty big, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But they can see it on the WWE Network also.
And the ceremony is going to be great. So I guess that's part of the whole thing. Maybe you get the WWE package. I don't know how they do it. But so definitely check that out. That sounds like fun. I'm sure Gage is going to have a good time as well.
Yeah.
I saw him in the ring.
At least this time we won't worry about him trying to get in the ring because I'm not wrestling that night.
Yeah. But no, I saw him in the ring last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I have to immortalize my son while I have the chance.
he looked like he had the best time ever. And I'm pretty sure like Wanda was crying. And she's
yeah.
Like, look
other
at
than
Gage.
Him doing the dab in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
When I
saw that.
There. Yeah. But other than that, man, it was a great opportunity. And I'll say it again. I'm going to say it, you know, induction night. You know, I was given a chance to come back 12 years removed, and not many people get that chance once in a lifetime. And I've gotten it a couple times, and I tried to make the most of it. And I greatly appreciate Brock and the WWE for making it happen.
You have spoken so highly of Brock Lesnar off the air here. You and I talked about it, mm-hmm. and I went back just the other day and I watched the fight, your fight with Brock. And I know you've said this on the show, but I got to emphasize this again. It doesn't really matter if the outcome of the event is planned. If you know it's going to happen, like you said, you know, you kind of have like a timeline, mm-hmm. like how long you're going to be, but Brock's a big dude, mm-hmm. and there's no faking throwing him around a ring or him throwing you around a ring.
Zero.
Right? Picking him up is not faked, and then also getting hit by him mm-hmm. is not fake.
No.
And then, I mean, it was like 12 minutes or something like that. I don't know what it ends up – like the whole bit was like 12 minutes, the entry and whatever, so mm-hmm. maybe you're 7 minutes in a ring. And first of all, you guys were both in great shape. Congratulations. You crushed it. And at the end, I'm looking at Brock. That guy's fucking sweating like he ran a marathon. Like, that's a big deal.
He gassed out on me. God darn it.
I'm telling you.
I wanted to get like 40 suplexes, but he stopped at like 10 because he was tired.
I know.
I swear to God. You know, it took me 5-6 months to get back kind of into ring shape and to feel comfortable. I felt comfortable when it was my last match. Right?
It was epic, and it was like it was a match of just like big signature moves, which is fantastic. And by the way, this is up like WWE has released this now for free. It's like I think they have a YouTube video of it, so you can watch it, and it's pretty awesome. I always thought, and we'll get into some cars still. Trust me, we got some time. I always thought the spear was one of the most violent moves you can do in the ring.
That's like, why I did it.
Like, a suplex looks badass. Mm-hmm. But if you look what's going on there, like, he's holding your neck and you're mm-hmm. going down, a lot of landing on the back and the butt. And, you know, like, I get a lot of that, you mm-hmm. know. And a body slam you can do, but you can kind of carry the guy down a little bit, you know. Spear looks violent as hell. Like, it just looks.
Depending upon who does it. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's nothing but a football tackle. And it's hard. It's hard for the person to prep for it. It's basically the instructions are tuck your chin, spread your legs, and kiss your ass goodbye and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And that's the instruction I give to people. But, you know.
Here's the thing. If they don't accept the hit in the proper way, that looks like when people will get hurt.
Laparca didn't accept it the proper way and blew his knee out.
That's the thing. Like, you're going full speed. You know what you're going to do. But if they don't sort of like crunch
offer
in
themselves
and,
up.
And yeah, I don't know if you just like turn yourself into a noodle or you just got to kind of lean into it and kind of, you know.
We had different people had different ways of prepping for it. Steiner did it the best because he'd like elevate. Right before I hit him with the spear, he'd lift off the ground so he'd travel a much further distance than the normal
person.
But
that's taking a harder hit. That's not absorbing
absolutely
the hit.
True.
Like he's like, just hit me then.
But
right?
Hey, man, if you can't take that hit, you're in the wrong profession.
Well, yeah. Well, here's my point. My point is all things aside, you can say whatever you want about it. It's fixed or whatever, you know, like Monster Truck, Monster Jam is fixed, right? Like that's where we are now. But the point is, it looks cool as shit, and taking a hit like that is not faked. What is Lesnar weigh these days? 290?
Pushing 290 probably. Yeah. Remember when I speared him through the barrier?
Yeah.
My wife thought I thought I cut my ear off. My wife thought that I was really hurt. Like, she was in tears. Because I usually give her the Iggy or something and let her know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
after the match, go over and tell her, hey.
Yeah.
She had no idea. She was in tears. She thought I hurt myself.
Oh, right. The hit. So you guys were outside the ring and you took that. You hit him into that barrier. And I saw that too. And at some point, I saw like part of the table metal leg just like hit you in the head. Just came down hit you.
Right. My ear, yeah, man, is when I first
and
blasted
I saw you grab
him.
It.
I thought my ear was gone.
Yeah.
I thought it was gone.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel it. I was like, oh, my God, where's my ear?
Who pays for that? Does Vince get you an ear?
I don't know. Fortunately, I never had to deal with replacing one. But,
yeah,
you know.
That's a violent hit, by the way. That's a violent hit for
yeah,
it.
But
yeah,
we're two big monsters, and that's what people expect, yeah, and that's what we do.
So, know? Brock, is he a car guy?
Yeah, I hooked him up with a couple of Hemi cars in North Carolina, yeah, with the Hendrix guys. Yeah.
Has he been into it, or is he?
He blew one of them up, and then he replaced it with another one.
Is he an aspiring car guy? You know, because I tease about this too. A good friend of
so
ours.
So is he like me or Austin?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. I talked to Austin the other day and I was like, come in, do the show. But he had to do his podcast. And, but
yeah,
on
Instagram, you know, we got the lawman motor out of the car, yeah, and I posted and he goes, I'll give you 10 grand. That's his famous line. And I said, my response was for a lug nut.
Right.
So
okay, but you and I know Austin, and there's no way he's writing a $10,000 check.
Not a chance, unless it's for a four-wheeler, and he gets those from the company. So.
Yeah, right? For his UTVs. Yeah, yes, yeah, for that stuff. He picked up a muscle car. He's going to be doing some work on it, so he and I...
Hold on. He picked up a what?
He's got a muscle car. He's got...
What's your definition of a muscle car?
All right,
car?
Well, because he's not here.
But... any American car after 74 is not a muscle car
in
the late
70s.
Did he get a 74?
He
got a... 76? It looks like a 6.
Maybe 76?
Yeah, but
this
hey,
is a big
it's
deal
a great
for
entry level. It's great
That's
entry
what I'm
level.
Saying. What yeah. I'm saying is I like that he did it.
It's brilliant.
Right? I like that he did it. Now, you know that I went over to his house and I let him drive a McLaren 720S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prick, you never let me drive it.
Well, you're far, but you're going to get a Miata.
Prick, you never let me drive it.
well, 74 Z28. 74.
If you're listening to this, McLaren, the chances of me buying one or my boy Matt here buying one are not comparable. So, you know, give me a ride.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing.
I'm just saying.
I've got some very generous friends at McLaren. And
I'm
but
just
that's
saying.
True. Yeah.
94 F1's my dream car.
I know. That's 720S.
It's gorgeous.
You'll like it. Steve yeah. fit in it. He was
I'm not
snug
Steve.
In it.
Steve's
no.
the size of my son.
Steve fit in it, but here's the thing. It's like you guys have taken so many hits over the years that when Steve went to go close the door, it's kind of a scissor door. He couldn't – his shoulder's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
And he's like, I can't –
You need
it.
A pull
like,
string for it. Yeah,
yeah.
Drawstring.
That's
yeah.
honestly that's the tough part for any professional athlete.
Oh
NFL.
Yeah.
So it's like yeah, like hey, this is a cool car, but you're like yeah, but my back can't take it, or my knee. You know, I can't drive stick. My knee can't take it anymore.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal.
But
right?
it's worth it. It is what it is. Hey, if we didn't do what we did, then we wouldn't be trying to fit in the cool cars that we're trying
yeah.
to fit in.
Yeah. Well, we'll have him on at some point because I want to educate him more. I'm like, let's do this, man. Let's get you in a car, and then because he's like, oh, you know, I want to, you know, I just want to do a little, maybe touch up the paint, put air in it. It's like, okay, I know you
put
gotta
air in it.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
That does sound like something Steve would say.
Yeah, but he's always like off in the desert somewhere. You know,
he's a busy man. Dude.
He's a busy man, but he loves to just like he comes to LA. He's got a place here. He comes here, works, and then when he's not working, he's gone.
It's
amazing how similar
he and I are.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
It really is.
Path of least resistance.
You found a way to do it basically within Southern California. You have your, you know, you have a nice property in acres and you can play around.
But I started 20 years ago with it. It was a different time. If it was now, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, right. You can't find something like that anymore. He's looked. Yeah. You know,
He could buy my place. I'll trade with him. I need a 100-acre ranch. Believe me,
I gotta go bigger.
Yeah, I don't need to be where I am right now.
Yeah, look, the thing these days now is just like have a place here, or even a condo or something that sort of maintains itself with an HOA or something. You know, in somewhere here, Santa Monica, even you
that's
know,
the way
Venice,
to do it.
You know, and then go to Utah or Nevada or. Or, you know, maybe Arizona or something. Depends on how you are with cold.
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of the thing to do. And then you got room to play. You can get your trucks out there, your bikes
absolutely,
out there.
Absolutely, man. Green grass.
Yeah. Do you have any motorcycles left?
I got six of them. But so, I don't ride them. I don't have time.
Wanda rides a motorcycle?
I sold her. We sold her bike this last weekend, a matter of fact.
Oh, you did?
Finally, yeah.
I was like, you know, sold my wife a bike last weekend. I was like, why did you sell her a bike?
No, I gave her my Confederate like 100 years ago, and then we got rid of it this last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we need room. I'm not going to do the cry for me thing, but I don't have any more room. I got to get rid of some stuff so I can put some more cool stuff in there.
Yeah, that's not a cry for me thing. That's a you've earned it, you deserve it, and you've got a cool collection, and again, not afraid to take it out and show it around and welcome people to the collection and do some charity events and do some articles.
That's what it's for.
And to show that stuff off, right?
Well, at the end of the day,
hiding it all, then it would be
it's not worth having it. And you don't deserve to have it because you got to share it. It's history, and you got to educate people.
Yeah. All right, so we've got some car stuff going on. But first, I want to quickly tell you about Dodge. There is one good thing that comes from daylight savings, and it's the Dodge Spring Sales Event. Dodge Charger, own the road and the pump with 300 horsepower and 30 miles per gallon. Dodge Challenger, take the streets by storm with the most affordable V8 in its class. The Dodge Durango, with all-wheel drive availability, April showers won't have your tires spinning unless you want to. Dodge Journey. Maximize your adventures with the most powerful three-row all-wheel drive vehicle in its class. Hurry into your Dodge dealership and start your introduction to the Brotherhood of Muscle. Some updates you've been doing the past few weeks. Now, as you're listening to this, we're a few more weeks into it. So follow Goldberg on Instagram and Goldberg's Garage, by the way. That's going to be the best place to get all of these updates. But the Demon, you've been doing some work on. Now,
yes, I love it. Man, it's like a kid to kid.
I wore the Dodge shirt for you today.
Look at you.
The Hellcat and the Demon.
Nice.
Right?
You are the
I got
man,
the Dodge
dude.
Shirt.
Nice. Yeah, we got some. I picked it up yesterday from Daily Visual. Mm-hmm. Got a little 3M protective clear wrap on that puppy because I originally was going to wrap it in like a satin.
Yeah,
but it would be a complete injustice to why I bought that car in the first place. That F8 green is beautiful. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So I didn't want to cover it up. I wanted to accentuate it. The 3M wrap. The protective wrap we put on there is like three times the thickness of a normal wrap. So chips, stuff like that on the race course, they're not going
to. That's right, because you want to get it out there. You want to do some stuff with it.
Oh, yeah, we're doing stuff. Yeah. I'm driving the dog shit out of this car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's for.
I can't wait for that.
So we got the clear wrap, and then we got the, you know, I blacked out the hood with a little satin finish. And hopefully in the next 2 weeks, HRE is going to have the one-off set of wheels for me, and then we got Nitto tires just
on board.
What's
HRE building? Sort of a road race set?
Yes. I wanted to – there's a lot of things I want to do with this car. I want to make it look different, but it's got to be functional.
Yeah.
The wheels that I originally picked out from HRE are awesome wheels, but they're going to be really hard to clean. And I want to drive the dog crap out of this car. So I'm going to be pulling brake dust off of these five spokes.
It's a little easier to go to like a five spoke.
These are much easier. It's a takeoff of the original one that came on the Demon, but it's a deeper dish wheel.
And you're trying to square this up a little bit more. You're not... You're not running it on the bigs and skinnies. You know, it's not drag race mode like you were talking about earlier.
I'm gonna make this car turn.
Yeah, this is gonna be sort of an epic road race demon or motocross demon or whatever. You know, it's just
Gurney back in the day, man, and the AAR. I mean, that's kind of one of the and the TH Allinger. That's kind of one of the things that's the inspiration of this. I love going fast. The fact that this is the fastest production car, you know, domestic production car in the world, or production car, period. I want it to turn. I want to take it out to road courses. Like I say, we got Nitto involved a couple days ago. I can't go on any further without thanking you, especially for hooking me up with Richard Waitis again.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
Because Richard's just taking the lead, man. Called me yesterday. Hey, we got Nitto on board. We got Bilstein on board. See, the cool thing about this car is I want to keep it original as much as I can,
right?
Because it's a 3300 production run demon, for God's sakes. But I want to turn it into a monster. So Bilstein did the shocks originally on the Hellcat and this demon.
Yeah, okay.
But they're developing a road course set, a one-off set, a direct replacement for mine.
Interesting.
Okay, so they're on board. Nitto, same deal.
Yeah.
We got some sportsman tires, then we got some radials they're throwing into the mix. Brembo. Okay, we're going to do we got four pistons on there now. We're going to do a six piston.
Okay.
If you go fast, you got to stop fast.
Yeah. Richard Waitis is our friend at Magnaflow, and he's been great for us. He was sort of Richard Waitis at Magnaflow, and everybody at Magnaflow.
How do you best describe Richard?
It's like he's a good dude. First of all, he's the biggest RC car collector in the world. He's got an entire room dedicated to that stuff at his place.
Oh, great.
Which is fantastic. And he's helped me out on my Mustangs and my other cars. My 92 Alfa Romeo Spider has a full Magnaflow exhaust that he developed for me on it, and the Mustang Cobra does. My BMW M3 has Magnaflow on it.
The sound's unbelievable.
And it's great. But also, when I approached I approached SEMA and I said, hey, we need to do more podcasting. It needs to be more of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to have a bigger presence at SEMA. And I know they're kind of like getting into that, but they weren't ready to jump on right away. But then I went to Richard and I said, Richard, podcasting, come on, man. You've been on the show. You know what's going on. We need a presence for that.
That's when I so rudely interrupted you in the Ring Brothers.
Yeah, we were doing some like booth to booth stuff. But this past year, Magnaflow built a podcast stage.
Brilliant.
In Central Hall, in that main hall, and allowed us to do podcasting stuff there and put on a whole thing. And they built us a stage in a green room, and they had a whole bunch of different people doing podcasts.
And it was huge. It was a great hit.
And I love that. And those guys are sort of at the leading edge by doing that, and I think they loved it as well. We loved it,
and they've embraced the new marketing technique. You know, they're all over it.
Yeah, and Richard just bought a Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's had it for 90 minutes before he had that thing apart as well.
Yeah,
the both of you guys.
Speaking of having a part, if you're at one with the car, with your automobiles like I am, don't ever go into a place that is wrapping your car and watch what they do because you will vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brand new car. I don't know. I had 20 miles on it when I got there. I saw another processor pieces laying all over the place.
Oh, yeah. They take it all apart.
I'm like, oh, my
to
God.
Do it right,
what is
take it
going
apart.
On yeah. here? You know, so yeah. Do not. Out of sight, out of mind. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah. And everybody tells me that use like a dusting, like end dust, or what's the other spray, like the pledge or something. Yeah, like something like that with an oil and a UV protectant will make it last.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I heard that from a couple people, but listen, if you're a professional rap person, car rap person, not rap person, but car rap person, let us know. How do you take care of those things? If you want them, if they last 4 or 5 years, how do you make them last 7, 8, 9 years? Just
exactly.
Curious,
and is that possible?
Yeah. And is it different for the clear wrap? Because you have black on the hood, but then you have a thick clear over the rest of it. How do you
it
make that?
It is different. There's different cleaning.
Soap and water.
Techniques.
Right? And then how do you prevent it from like yellowing or things like that? I'd love to hear that. So you can always email us at carcastshow@gmail.com or hit us up on social media as well. Another car. Oh, so I'm going to ask you about your Mustang, but
How about the BMW?
The BMW. So I got this 2001 BMW M3. I think we talked about it a little bit before. Adam Carolla bought the car new in 2001. He special ordered it. He got it done in like this dark blue instead of black. He just wanted to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Sunroof delete. He didn't even want like power seats and leather in it. He wanted a sort of a lightweight version. It has power seats because that's all they have, but it's like cloth inserts on the seats.
Well, he's a torso man. He needed the extra 2 inches with the lack of sunroof.
Right? So it's a cool car. And then he took it to a shop back in the day, and I think we could talk about it. So it's not like I'm not trying to dog on the shop. It's not good, bad, or otherwise. But he went to RMS, Racemark Systems, right? They're here in I don't know, Van Nuys, Burbank, or something like that. And they started working on the car, and it kind of got ahead of itself. Like, it ended up getting not a fully built motor. It's got rods and pistons in it. It's got a supercharger on it, which his car was the one they developed the kit on, right? And at the time, this company was so new that they didn't really just – like, they kind of got ahead of themselves, and they couldn't really finish this car. It was way more than what they thought they were going to do. It's got big brakes on it, full suspension on it, and they had it for, I don't know, a year or 2 years, something really long, and Adam's finally like, I just want my damn car back. And he took the car back, but it never really got finished. So it drove around, but it overheated and just wasn't right. So it sat for years and years and years, like 14 years. And then finally I was like, what are you doing with the M3? And he's like, I don't know. Do you want to figure it out? I was like, okay. So I took a bunch of things apart, and I found some issues with the cooling system and this problem with the radiator and a broken coil. It's brand new coil, broken coil, in the coil pack. And then I fixed the cooling system. We fixed some belt wrap issues with the supercharger. There was a tensioner on it, and every time you'd hit the gas, when you open the hood and the engine's running, belt's clear. But when you hit the gas, the tensioner is spring loaded, and it would hit one of the pulleys, and it would just cut through one of the pulleys. And I had a custom radiator made by Ron Davis, the group in Arizona. They did a great job. The fan was so tight because once you put all the supercharger pulleys and stuff on, there's no room for an electric fan. So we bought a fan and we kind of sort of mounted it off to the side on the radiator. And then the only way to make a shroud is some guys helped me out, and they made it out of foam, laid carbon fiber over it, dissolved the foam with an acetone, and we made a one-off carbon fiber shroud.
Nice.
On this thing. So anyway, I got it running, got it in pretty good shape, and but the tune was still off. You know, it was an old tune from back in the day. It was running rich. It was a little down on power. Mm-hmm. And we took it to a dyno. A friend of mine, Ray, he put it up on the dyno, and he's like, I can't tune it. It's a 2001. It's even older. It's an E46, but the computer's like a little bit older. I think they revised them in 03 or 04 or something like that. I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure there was a revision done. And he's like, look, we made 410 to the tires. You know, it's you know, I was like, oh, that's pretty good. He goes, but it's running rich and it could use a few things. So I ended up calling back this RMS company, and I went over there and I was like, hey, here's the car. And first I was going in a little angry. I was going in like, this car hasn't run in fucking 15 years. And he was like, yeah. He's like, Adam and I are friends and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, that's my bad. He goes, I couldn't afford to build this car, and I was trying to like build a company around it and whatever. And like now he's doing well, and his company's good, and his supercharger kits are
good,
all over the place.
Fix it, fucker.
And I said, fix it, fucker.
Yeah.
and so that's what he's doing. So I dropped the car off there, and he's like, all right, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to dyno it. I'm going to, you know, he's like, and we got a new pulley that we use, and it doesn't whine because one of them squeals, and we've got a new intake tube. I was like, yeah, because this one falls off. He's like, yeah, no, we got a new one. Christ. We're going to fix it. So he's in there and he's working on it, and you know, and like any car guy, like none of my cars run. So here I am. I was like, let me time it. I was like,
I'm not the only guy that's like that.
No, believe me. So I was like, let me time this out to where I was on the schedule to test drive the 2018 Ford Mustang GT. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's about a week. So why don't I drop the car off and the BMW? He's got a week to work on it. And I'll drive the Mustang. And then when the Mustang goes back, I get the BMW back. So the Mustang goes back on Thursday. You know, as you're listening to this a few weeks ago, it goes back on Thursday. I text the guy. I don't hear back. I text him on Friday. And I was like, hey, man, I need my car back, or I need an answer, right? Do I got to rent a car or what? And I get a text at night.
No, you should buy one.
Right? Buy one that works. I was like, hey, I've got to do podcasts all weekend. I've got an event to go to. I'm here with you. Like, it was basically a couple of days ago. And I was like, I need to know what I'm doing here.
You need to
talk to me. And he's like, oh yeah, my bad. Here we go. And he's like, come drive my car. So I'm driving this guy's 07 335 and he's got my M3. And the issue is, he's like, we got a new computer for it. We got a little bit more modern computer. It's a little bit faster. I'm building the tune for the whole thing. It's screaming. It's making power. It's sounding good. And he goes, but the initial tip in, I'm having a trouble tuning it. He's like, it's not you. It's not the car. It's not the computer. He goes, the fucking speed sensor in my dyno just broke. And now I'm on the phone with the dyno guys trying to get it fixed. I'm like, well, how long is that going to take? I was like, do you have to order a part from another country? Like, what's going on? And he goes, well, you drive my car for as long as you need it. I said, you know how long I need it? When my car is done. I was like, so when my car is done, you could have your car back. That's how long I need your car for. So if you want to call me and be like, hey, can I get my car back? Yes.
When mine's done,
you could have your car back. And so that's where I am. I'm stuck with.
You still got his car.
I've got his car. I'd love to say, hey, man, I've got the dyno numbers and it looks great. And by the time you're listening to this, hopefully I will, because it'll be 3 weeks from now and I'm going to be pissed as hell if I don't have it. But that's where we are. So maybe on one of the other shows, or we'll come back and we'll do some social media stuff. I'll show you some dyno numbers. I'm excited. This is a 2001 M3, and because it sat for so long, it's got 20,000 miles on it.
Oh, nice.
And Magnaflow did the exhaust for it. You mentioned HRE wheels. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to do an HRE wheel on that car. And I got a CSL front end bumper cover kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Bilstein, they're doing suspension on it as well.
Nice.
So it's a nice little, it seems like we're working with a lot of the same people.
Yes, sir.
So I'm excited to make it good. And the one thing that drives me nuts on this car is the clutch is so heavy. You need 2 feet to push this goddamn thing down. It's nuts. So I've been bitching about it on the show and online forever. And of course, our friend, Mr. Clutch, Will Beatty, at Center Force Clutches, he's like, we got to get that fixed.
I don't know his name, and I don't know the name of his company until they replaced the clutch and the Cobra. they owe me one, so I don't know his name or the name of his company until it's done.
All right. So my friend Will Beatty from Center Force Clutches is going to help me out on the BMW. Do you want me to make it a package deal? Cobra and BMW?
I don't know if he wants to live much longer than I think it probably should be. Yeah.
All right. So you're calling out Will Beatty. All right. So we're going to wrap up, but just a quick update on the Lawman Mustang. I know you're kind of just putting a plan together. You're freshening up the car. What's the idea? Are you going to rebuild the motor on it, or are you doing a little cosmetic stuff?
I'm having to rebuild a bit of the motor there. I over-revved the thing the last time. We redid the Ford Tour. I did 12 bases locally. Mm-hmm. And, I got the opportunity to take a number of COs down the tarmac.
So these are the military bases. You're talking about you're going to do the charity things and you run the car and all that. Yeah.
Last time I ran it, I, over-revved it a little bit and got a little damage no head damage, but a little piston issue. And at the end of the day, the car was restored in 89. So cosmetically, it looks, it's a good-looking car. But it's the Mustang in the world. If you ask me, ask a number of people, it's the preeminent Mustang. So it needs to be massaged. It needs to be brought back to life, brought back to better than original state.
Because you use it. That's an important thing.
Well, because I use it, And, it's worthy of the best. And
it's the brawniest of Mustangs. Like, this thing is just so crazy fast.
Yeah, Pedregon, told me a long time ago, it was like the predecessor to the funny cars. It's pretty cool. He was the first one to drive that thing when I purchased it at the Oceana Air Show. It's really neat. I mean, the thing means a lot to me because of what it is, but it's associated with the military, and
that
means a lot to me.
I I know you've driven it a bunch of times, like you were talking about, and it's fast. But once that thing's freshened up and maybe a little bit modern pieces and seals and stuff going into that in that supercharger, and
we'll take it down, take it for a rip. Absolutely, I bet that's what it's for.
It's going to be nuts.
What's going to be even more nuts is doing a video of it taking a rip right next to the Demon.
To the Demon, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'll throw the 330 in there too in the mix. Put Wanda in it or something, where we know that she can't be as fast as us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd all be right. A pretty cool shot.
All right, guys. Thank you. We're running out of time here. Thanks for listening. As usual, you can check us out at carcastshow.com and subscribe on iTunes. You can go to iTunes Podcast. You can subscribe and get the show all the time. This show is every Wednesday. The one with Adam Kroll and myself is every Friday. Or you can just go to the website and listen to it. We've got a couple apps, Podcast One app, Adam Kroll app. Frankly, I don't know if they work, but they're there.
It's a formality.
But I think that they're getting some updates and things like that. But you can listen to the shows there, and we appreciate that. Give us a nice little review on iTunes. And we want some questions. So we're going to start doing some questions. We're going to do phone calls at some point. It really comes down to when do we take phone calls, when we have studio time. But hit us up at carcastshow@gmail.com. Send us your car questions or whatever. You know, you can ask us some whatever questions. But we'll go for the car questions too. But check out all of that stuff, and you can find me on social media at Motorator, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at Motorator. Send me some messages, show me your cars, love to hear about it. And Goldberg, you're all over social media as well.
Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram.
Great. And just a reminder, April 17th, History Channel, your new show. What's it called?
Forged in Fire, Knife or Death. Watch it or I'll kill you.
There you go. And WWE Hall of Fame induction, April 6th. That's the WrestleMania weekend. So subscribe to that. I think it's on WWE Network.
And make sure you tune in, because I just did a stop at Mr. Mark Warman's garage in Eugene, Oregon, and put a couple motors in. Had a lot of fun. We're going to get him in here at some point.
We're going
to
do that.
And got a lot of cool Mopar stuff to talk about.
Excellent. Oh, and also, you've done several episodes of the Goldbergs. As you're listening to this, they probably have aired, but check out abc.com, and I think they're playing full episodes.
Yeah, you can stream the full
episodes up there. You've done a fun. It's funny stuff. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, if I hadn't masculated myself enough wearing my underwear in front of millions of people, I had to sing and wear a pink robe on the Goldberg, so check it out.
Fantastic. All right, thanks, guys. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
See ya!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.